We're in Galatians 5:13. I really loved singing today, lifting up the name of the Lord, and this idea that, this is a change of subject, by the way, the glory of the Lord, you know, how glorious, I love singing that, and that I was just, it made me think of that verse in Habakkuk 2, where it says, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And that's what we're singing, isn't it, when we say, be glorified, you know, you are glorious. That's really what we're saying, is be known as glorious. Let the knowledge of the glory of God fill this place, fill this earth, fill this town. That's what I was singing anyway. That's part of what was in my heart as I was singing that. Come on, God, let your glory be known. Let people see who you are. So that, you know, in fact, I'm going to pray that, I think, in a minute. Today is kind of the end of the Loving Northampton month. If you remember, people are pledging hours of Loving Northampton, and I'm one of those who gets the emails. Every time someone pledges some hours, I get an email saying what it is. And these pages here are all of the things. That's not helpful, is it? These are all the things that people have pledged their hours for Loving Northampton. And it's just such a brilliant thing to read. Which, you know, it goes from mowing my neighbour's lawn through to running the Hope Centre in town and all the volunteer hours that goes with that. And it's absolutely amazing to see people loving Northampton in the name of Jesus all across this town. And I do think that is part of the glory of the Lord being spread on this town.
Yeah,
it's people living out for the benefit of others. So when, you know, when we pray, be glorious, we're also praying, you know, it cascades all the way down to people who are willing to love their neighbour for the sake of Jesus. And so, I mean, some of these things people would do anyway, some people are pledging them because they've done it specifically, but somehow the glory of the Lord is more evident this month, a little bit more than it was before, because people are willing to show the love of Jesus to people. And that's, you know, that's a really exciting thing. It's an amazing thing. And we want more of it. We want more of that knowledge of the glory of the Lord in all those different ways, in all the variety of ways across Northampton. So today is the end of it. We've got the celebration tonight, if you're available. 7 o'clock at Kingdom Life Church. And, yeah, I think it might be 7 for a 7:30 start. I've got someone by time. Did you have 7:30 or something? Is that what you mean?
I did. But it's 7:00.
7:00, I think, yeah. So. And the lady speaking there is Deborah Green. I think I've mentioned her, but so she's had really a massive impact within Manchester because of things that she's been involved with. I've seen communities transformed. And actually what is interesting, what her story is, that it started as a prayer movement that she was involved in. That's what she felt like God had called her to start. And it's kind of moved into really having a massive impact. And what she does now is goes around the country helping churches and statutory agencies and voluntary agencies to work together to see how the communities can be impacted. So this afternoon, we've also got a meeting with her and a few other church leaders to talk about what that looks like, whether there's something of what she brings that could help Northampton to express that further. What does that look like? So the organisation is called Redeeming Our Communities, or ROC. I like that. And I just wonder whether you'd be willing to pray with me, even for this afternoon, that actually I'm chairing that meeting. And just some wisdom, really, on how to take this conversation further. And it's small, really, to start with this afternoon, but what does that mean to really make an impact across this town? That's part of what God is doing. God's doing so much, isn't he? And there's so much prayer going on, there's so much desire to see God move across the town. I think it's exciting. And I just wonder what else God wants to do. So can we just pray as we kick off? Lord, we want you to be glorified. We want the knowledge of the glory of the Lord to cover this earth like the waters cover the sea. We thank you that will be the case, Lord, and in these days, in our day, we want it to increase. Lord, we want it to increase in our town. The knowledge of your glory spread. Lord, we thank you for all the ways in which people have been expressing that, even this month, even as they do every month, but even this month. We thank you for that so much. We thank you for how your glory has been spread abroad and your love impacted people. And we celebrate that, Lord. We celebrate what all the churches in this town are doing to spread your name, your glory, your love. And I just want to ask you, Lord, today that you will continue to do your work. Lord, and whatever you're about in this town, that you would do it. Lord, through weak vessels and tentative steps of trying to work it out, Lord, I pray that you would work out your purposes in this town, Lord. Lord, and pray for this conversation with Deborah Green and the celebration tonight. Lord, that you would speak. Holy Spirit, you'd speak. You'd move, Lord. And where there needs to be more unity, that you would work that out, Holy Spirit. Where there needs to be more wisdom, Lord, that you would bring it. Lord, and where there needs to be steps of faith, or even leaps of faith, Lord, that you will challenge and speak and cause this town to be impacted by you. Lord, we pray more. We pray glorious are you. We thank you, you're glorious, and we lift you up over this town. Lord, we know that all of the leaders across all the different arenas of this town, Lord, are weak and fallen, but you are the one who is the leader over all, the King of Kings, the leader of leaders. And we declare that over our town. Lord, that that would be more evident, that your kingdom would come to Northampton and that your will would be done in Northampton. Lord, through all that you want to do. Lord, where we don't know what to do, Lord, we ask you that you would help us to see what to do. Yes. And that you would open doors where they've been shut. Yes. Lord, and that you would break down barriers where barriers have been put up. Lord, and that you would melt hearts, Lord, where hearts need to be melted. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're about a bigger work than we can even get our heads around. Yes. There's more that you're doing than we know. Lord, we pray that you would help us to play our part in what you're doing. Amen. Great. So let's go to our verse for today. And it is, as I said, Galatians 5:13. It says this: you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. We've had quite a journey through Galatians so far, hitting lots of different kind of key verses as we've gone through. We've talked about how God gave Paul revelation of what his gospel was all about. We talked about justification, how it's Christ plus nothing in terms of faith. We talked about how we're moving from death and leaving the old behind into life. We talked about being clothed with Christ and being found in him. Other things as well, I'm sure. Amber last, whenever that was, a couple of weeks ago, did a great job, I thought, on talking about us as children of promise, children of Abraham, who are living free in him. Really, this verse comes as a flow-on from that. As a flow-on of what it means to be children of promise, living free. And, if you like, all of this now is coming to a head of what it really means for life as a Christian, what it means to live this way. And although the Holy Spirit is not mentioned in this verse in particular, it's all over it. This whole book is all about the work of the Holy Spirit. And if we were to sum it up, I think, we probably go back to 3 verse 3, where it says this: "Are you so foolish?" Don't know if you noticed this. Paul's quite cross at points in this letter, isn't he? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Probably something in everything what Galatians is about is summed up in that verse. It's kind of relevant because I don't know what other people's translation says. Mine says human effort. But it's the same word as being used in our verse here for, where's it gone? Sinful nature. And it's this word, the flesh. Has anyone got the flesh in their versions? Any of those yes. points, anyone? What version have you got? Oh, yeah. Is it NIV?
NIV is human effort. Mm.
What are you looking at, Mike, sorry?
The UK.
NIV online sort of thing. So it's the latest. Yeah. The flesh. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, it says in Galatians 5:13. And back in 3:3, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by the flesh? Interesting. We hit this verse, Galatians 5:13, and it says, you were called to be free. You were called to be free. I think Amber referred to that verse in 5:1 where it says, it's for freedom Christ has set us free. It's a funny word that, isn't it? It's for freedom that we're free. And you go, well, duh. Of course it is. Like, what's the point of freedom if you're not free? Which I think is the point. You're supposed to be free. And the freedom that you... But I guess there's a question there. What are you free from? Free from what? Having begun in the Spirit.
Sorry, we talked about it last week.
Oh, did
you? All the people were talking about it last week.
Well, you did this verse last week.
Did
I? Great, that's good then. That means we can really build
they
on
can't remember. They're both looking sheepish.
No, they can remember. Oh, there you go. Well, I'm doing it again anyway. Free from what? Pardon?
Slavery.
Yeah, that's true. Go on, let me just finish that point. What do you mean? Go for it. Say more. It's free from slavery. Go on then, read it out. Okay, fine, don't worry. You're called to, yeah, definitely slavery, and that's what Amber was talking about, the difference between children of promise and children of slavery, for sure. Yeah. What else did we say over here? Freedom from?
The law.
The law, absolutely. The freedom from the law. Let's just read these verses just before it. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? This is from verse 7. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through a whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, this is the bit that... I'm going to read it anyway. I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Okay. Right, so the context here is circumcision. And Paul's already said to them, look, if you go back to circumcision, and circumcision is the sign of the old covenant. It's like, it's the, how do you know whether you're under the old covenant? Well, you're circumcised. I wish I could move on from this topic, but I've just got to keep going there a little bit. You're circumcised. It's a sign that you are under the old covenant, under the law, the Jewish law. And what he's saying is, look, everything has shifted now. And it's now not about law, but it's about the Spirit. It's about the Spirit's work in your life. Having started in the Spirit, are you now going back to the flesh? So we're free from the Jewish law. Why would you go back? Like, why would you? Why would you go back? One way or another. I was reminded of this video. Let's see if it works. The volume might not be big enough, but you'll get the idea, I think. Oh, I pressed it twice. Oh, yeah.
Training fleas requires a glass jar with a lid. The fleas are placed inside the jar and the lid is then sealed.
What was this?
Fleas. They're put, sorry, fleas in the glass jar.
For 3 days.
Put them in for 3 days.
Then, when the jar is opened, the fleas will not jump out.
The fleas won't jump out after
3 days.
Sorry, let me say that again. That was fleas, training fleas. When you put the fleas into the jar, they jump, and they can jump higher than the size of the jar. But when you put the lid on, you leave the lid on for 3 days, and then when you take the lid off, they're never going to jump higher than the lid is. They're trained to do that. And the really amazing thing, which I really don't understand, is that they said that when their children also won't jump any higher than the lid. It's bizarre, isn't it? But that's how, apparently how you train fleas. That's what you do. You put them in a jar, you put a lid in it. Because I guess they jump, they hit their head against the lid, and they go, well, I can't jump any higher than that. Dunk, dunk, dunk. That's how high I jump. And everything's tied into that. You can train fleas so that they don't jump too high. Presumably, you change the height of the jar, you change the height in which they jump. And there's something, I think, about being. What's that? Are we discussing what sort of fleas they are? I don't know.
Where do you get fleas?
Oh, yeah. How do you get a spoonful of fleas? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's okay, yeah. Harvest the fleas. Sorry, I don't know how you create fleas. What I do know is that video, just clearly done in the most boring scientific voice that they could come up with. But it's interesting. So the fleas get trained, they get restricted. You put a lid on them, and that dictates who they are for the rest of their short lives, I'm sure. I'm sure it's not very long. Remind me of Murphy, our dog, as well. When we got Murphy, he was a little bit chubby. And as we had him, the boys ran him around the garden a bit more, and he lost a bit of weight. And it meant that the collar that he had actually came off. And we'd take him for a walk, and it just kind of slip off. And obviously the collar is the way that we grab hold of him. It's the way that he's got his lead. He's on the end of the lead the whole time. So what do you think he did when the collar came off? Laura says ran off. He hated it. Absolutely hated it. Did not run off. He was like, I haven't got my collar on. And I expected him to run off. And we were when we realised it came off, we very quickly bought a new one going, this is terrible. But actually, he felt completely insecure, let's put it that way, without his collar on. So fleas and dogs, and maybe even humans, get conditioned to our environment, to where we are, to what happens. And there's something secure about knowing how things are. Knowing when we're in the right and when we're in the wrong. When things are clear, we feel more secure. And when things are free, let me use that word, actually, it's a little bit insecure. It's a little bit, what happened now? Can I really jump a bit higher? Can I really go free without a collar on? So I think there's something that actually brings us security in that. That is a reason why we want to go back to something that's more, I do this, you do that. And that's called legalism. If I do this, you do that. Because we want to go back there because we feel more secure. That's why Paul has to go over and over again. He's going, don't go back, because it's different now. Things are different now. Don't go back into this restricted way of living. There is freedom for you. That's why he says such things as that strange phrase. It's for freedom that Christ set you free. And for me, when you take, you know, look at that flea picture and they take away the jar, you're kind of saying, you're free, but actually they're not free, are they? Because they're still doing exactly the same thing as they were doing before. And I think Paul would say to the fleas, it's for freedom that you're set free. Your freedom. You're no longer restricted, but set free to what God is doing. And elsewhere in the Bible it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And that collar, that yoke, that restriction, that has restricted us, which is slavery, and actually lots of other things, isn't it? Guilt, sin, condemnation, are all restrictors on our lives. You were called to freedom, but don't use... Yeah, you, brothers, were called to freedom. When we accepted Jesus and respected the call of God in our lives, we are called to be free. Just want to say, that's good news today. Okay. And when I talked about going from death to life, it's that. It's the old is gone, the jar is gone, the new has come. Amber talked about really well, again, this sense of a radical trust in Jesus, following Jesus. So Abraham, she talked about, do you remember this? She said, you know, Abraham, he's a bloke in Ur, and God and God said to him, go to the country, I'll show you. And going, okay, where's that? And God said, well, I'll show you it. So the going precedes the knowing where you're going. Now that sounds scary, doesn't it? But it's actually freedom. That's what freedom looks like, is to go, I can set off without it all being lined up or sorted, because I'm trusting God in the end. I am led by the Spirit, to put it in the New Testament language. So that radical life of trust is a life of freedom, where the old restrictions, our own restrictions actually, are no longer what dictates what we do. The lids, the collars, or whatever. Freedom. Second thing he says is then, he goes, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. So we've got two options here in life that he's laying out. They both begin with L. One is law. That's one option. And he's saying, don't go back there. And the other option is license. Do what you want. And he's going, but that isn't it either. It's not. It says, don't use your freedom as a launch pad. It says indulge the flesh, but it's like a launch pad. As like, oh, free. Great, that means I can indulge the flesh. Meaning everything about humanity without Jesus, you can just do that. You go, no, that's not the point either. It's not either law or license. So as I said in chapter 3, verse 3, he starts to introduce this idea of flesh. And really the two baddies, the two things that are enemies of our soul are the law on the one hand, combined with our human nature on the other. That plays into this going the wrong way. Like a bowling ball with a weight on the side. Quite fancy playing that when I'm older. A bit old. John, when golf, you know. I think you can still do that.
Playing golf, John, I'm beaten at age one school.
Oh, really? Okay. And the ball has a weight on one side, isn't it, that leans it one way. And it'll always go that way. And as humans, we still have that flesh, that leaning. And when combined with law, takes us away from what God has for us. It's humanity without Christ. Human nature weakened by the sinful nature in us. And in the end, that is, what's the classic line? Sin has got I in the middle. In the end, everything about that leaning is about me and about my, whatever, comfort, desires, achievements. But there's something else that God has in mind. We were talking about the Holy Spirit yesterday at the Holy Spirit Day, as you do. And I was remembering when I was probably about 10. And as you know, I kind of grew up in a Christian home. Swearing wasn't a big part of my life. But for some reason, I remember that somewhere around age 10 at primary school, I really thought I probably would be cooler if I did swear. And so I started swearing. And it was, for me, because I'd never had this habit or anything like that, it was like a deliberate choice. Just being honest with you, it's a confession. It was a deliberate choice. And I was doing it, I think, because I thought that would make me cooler amongst my mates if I did it. There was a leaning of this bowling ball towards me, my central place. And the reality is that inside of me, I knew it wasn't what I wanted to do. Like, it was so much not I wanted to do that I had to force myself to do it. Weird thing. I was only 10. And in the end, I gave up. You know, going, this is a bit silly, really, isn't it? Why am I doing this? But there's something still in that sinful nature that leans us one way. But there's something else. And even at the age of 10, I trust that there's God, Spirit, saying, I've got something else for you. I've got something else that I want you to be and how I want you to live. And the answer then is not law or license. It's not do this of the law or do what you want of license. But the third way is follow the Spirit. And so And in this verse that we've talked about, that third way, to give us a third L, is love. So he's saying it's not law. It's not this achievement of just trying, of exchanging and trying to attain something. And it's not license. It's not do what you want. That doesn't do it either. In the end, actually, you're just slaves to yourself. That's what license looks like, because you're just playing into this leaning in you. But instead, the third way is love. Law, license, and the third way is love. What was that? The entire, in verse 14 after that, it says, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbour as yourself. Where does this come from? Well, let's start at the beginning. It comes from Leviticus. Let me just read it to you. I'll read 17 and 18 of Leviticus 19. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbour frankly, so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. So actually it's there in the Old Testament. And for the Jews, actually, it did become an important principle that propped up what the law was really about. So other people also thought it was a summary of what the law was about, as we can see when Jesus said it. That's the next thing I want to say, which is Matthew 22. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart or your soul or your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Paul, quoting it here in Galatians, is because he's a good Jew and he knows his Old Testament. And he knows he was a Pharisee. And he knows that Jesus said it too. But he's using it differently. It's not now being under the law, but seeing that the law is fulfilled by the life of the Spirit working in you. Love your neighbour as yourself. In fact, back in Leviticus, it also goes on a few verses later to say, also love the alien amongst you. Doesn't mean alien as in E.T. or anything like that. It means like those strangers. It means immigrants. Love them too. Those who are your enemies, love them too. Which we know Jesus also said. Love your neighbour as yourself. Interesting, isn't it? We've said that sin really is all about I in the middle. And it's like God is using that a little bit. Going, well, you know that, that you have for you. Now use that as your model for how you treat other people. And it's such wisdom, isn't it? But also so hard. We still have that leaning. I still have that leaning in me. And I'm failing constantly in this. Although desperate to go, Holy Spirit, would you help me to love my neighbour as myself? Our awareness, I think we've talked about this quite a lot, but our journey with God, so often our awareness of our own need for God's Spirit to renew us is a growing thing, not a diminishing thing. We need more of Him to change us. In the end, this love, the love of neighbour, is not a human virtue. It's not something that we can drum up. Because as we're going to hear about in a couple of weeks, probably, we know that love is a fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's something that's growing. Something we need to lay hold of more. It's not something we drum up, but something we allow in our lives. Such that we fulfill all that God intended in the first place. This law of love is something that Paul works out again and again and again, what it looks like. He says there's something, he says both in Romans and 1 Corinthians, he talks about there's something beyond your own conscience about whether it's right or wrong to do something. The decision on whether you do or don't something is not just whether you feel it's right or not, but how much it would impact someone else. That's an outworking of this. It's beyond law and it's beyond license into love. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. I think as we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that's what He brings birth in us. And I guess I just want to pray today that God will help us to do that more. On a day when I'm thinking, okay, this is the end of loving Northampton. When I'm thinking, I need more of God's love in my life. I need more of that flesh leaning to be reduced in my life. I need more of His Holy Spirit in me to help me to love, to live this out more and more. It comes from God. That's the beauty of it, actually. Otherwise, we end up back in law. And that's really all I want to say today. That Paul in this passage is appealing to us to find the third way. To find the third way. And we really need wisdom to keep finding the third way in our lives. I need wisdom to do that. So can we pray together that He would set us free? What we started in the Spirit, we continue in the Spirit. The life that God has for us, where He's continually setting us free, that we would be free indeed. Where we're restricted because we've grown up with lids or collars. That God would set us free to follow His Spirit radically. With love as our primary agenda. Thank you, Lord. I come to you today, Holy Spirit. Lord, we're aware of our own leanings. Probably for some of us we lean more towards law and some of us lean more towards license. But in the end, Lord, we need something. We need your Holy Spirit to help us to fulfill what you always intended, that we would love our neighbour as ourselves. That which we consider for ourselves, we would live out for others. Lord, we repent for law where we haven't done that. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to inspire us more to live it out. To keep in step with the Spirit. to spot the third way and to live in it. God, I pray that we would be people like Abraham, who when we hear you, we respond. Even though we don't fully understand it, it's outworking, Lord, but we would be people of faith and spirit in following you. Amen.